Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Two down, two balls, two strikes on Cabrera. Swing and a miss. Oh. Leon will pick it up and throw on to first. Yes. Got him! That ends the ball game. The Red Sox win it 2-1. The win every day Red Sox come in and knock off the Phillies in game number one of the two-game series. It ends on a strikeout.
Yeah, Murray. Yeah, Maz. Maz not even here, but it's for him too.
In spirit.
The win every day Red Sox. Suck on that.
It's a good nickname for him. Dave O'Brien's right. It's the win every day Red Sox.
The win every effing day they win. Every stinking day.
And it's, look, I've erased the asterisk because it's against good competition. The Philadelphia Phillies, for those not paying attention to National League ball, they are a good team. They went into that game a game behind in the National League East. Oh, so, no asterisk. Good win. Bullpen's still a little bit shaky, though.
There's your asterisk.
No, that's just the truth is what that is. It's the truth. If it's not one guy, it's another. So Heath Hembree comes in. He had been getting hit hard lately. Hembree looks good. And then it's Craig Kimbrell, who's looked like close to a shaky disaster as of late, like the last 7 or 8 outings for him. It's just the truth. I'm not putting an asterisk on it.
So here's the show. Murray's in from Az. Marshall Hook is in our update studios. We're coming to you from our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. We're going to start Red Sox. Another win last night. The win every day Red Sox. And with every win, Murray and Maz get more bitter.
Which
I enjoy, obviously. And, you know, just we played to that last play. It occurred to me last night, and I thought I'd mention it. That was a hell of a play by Leon. That was not an easy play.
Right.
With that ball getting behind him and him throwing, you know, over the runner or around the runner, you know, that was not, he made it look easy. That was a hard play to close out the game. That was a good clutch play from Sandy Leon.
Yeah, and they're a good clutch team. But they're flawed, too. I mean, look, they're not perfect, and the bullpen is the biggest glaring flaw, and it's continued to be that way for quite some time. But, hey, look, they're winning in spite of it.
The bullpen was clean last night-ish. Oh, I mean, very good. They didn't allow a run, so, I mean, that's clean. But I did notice, and I took a screen grab of it with my, when I say a screen grab, I, took my phone out, as this is... As far as I'll go with technology.
You've joined the rest of the world is what you've done.
I took my phone out and I snapped a picture of the TV, the Nesson broadcast, of Craig Kimbrell on his opening walk. So he walks the leadoff batter in the ninth.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why you're saying, and we're saying, ish. Because it's like, well, man, you can't live that way. You know, how often do you expect to walk the leadoff guy in the ninth with a 1-1 lead and come through against a good team? If you go through the playoffs like that, you're toast. And Maz was all over them yesterday for their walk numbers. And so there it was, leading off the ninth inning, leadoff walk. And we can't obviously run the Nesson graphic here on NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast. So we went to FanGraphs or wherever. I mean, they're not the only places that track pitch location. But when you look where Craig Kimbrell missed the zone on this at bat, it is the epitome of all over the place. I mean, I think it was a 3-2 count, so...
And when you say, you know, there's the old saying, couldn't hit a side of a barn. Like, it was that kind of a... That at-bat was brutal.
Well, but it was like, twice he painted the corner. Once he painted the inside corner. Once he painted the outside corner. One ball was way up and in by a foot. Two of them were up and out, up and away by a foot. And if we have the graphic on NBC Sports Boston, we'll show it. If it's not ready, it's not ready. But, I mean, if you're watching the game, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Who all over the place. And so, like, there you go. There's your asterisk in a nutshell, Murray.
Well, not only that, I mean, that whole half inning felt real shaky. So he walks that first batter. He's not near the strike zone. They have the chance at the double play. Xander Bogaerts blows that, and he knows it.
Okay, really? You think he should have short-hopped that ball?
Oh, yeah, come on. He knew it, too. I mean, he absolutely knew that he screwed that up. And that, as Drubal Cabrera, you know, at times has been a more than decent player. And, you know, he gets out of it, but the ball gets past Leon, and Leon makes that great play. It just, the whole thing felt like, whew. Again, you know, they're a damn good team. They're winning in spite of shaky little, you know, performances like this from the bullpen. And they're going to continue to do so. But to me, because I'm an eternal pessimist, I still look at these guys, and like I said, if it's not one guy, it's another. So Hembry looks good last night. Kimbrel continues to look shaky. Kimbrel's next outing, he'll probably look good, but Matt Barnes or Joe Kelly might puke on themselves. It's just the glaring issue with this team, and it's going to continue.
They did. Ben at the NBC Sports Boston got the graphic up on that at bat. It just blew me away. It was the epitome of, I have no idea where it's going. It'd be one thing, you know, if he was trying to pound the outside corner, and he left 3-4 balls off the outside edge of the plate, and he just missed his spot and whatever. It, literally all over the place. And I thought Philly, you want the second guess, I think Philly bailed him out by swinging and not allowing that runner then to steal second. He right. had second stolen on several different pitches. And Philly, even though Kimbrel can't find the ocean, and the guy's got the base stolen, keep hacking away. And so that's where you would say, well, you get against a smarter team or a team with a different approach in the postseason, does Kimbrel survive that? So I still think there's a yeah, but there with Kimbrel. He's not trending in the right direction. What also is it with Red Sox players diving into bases when they don't need to or they shouldn't be? How do you feel about Rick Porcello diving into second base?
I hated it. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of fans are like, yeah, that shows the toughness. And of course, like, you know, the rest of the team in the dugout gets all pumped for it. But was that really a smart play? A guy who... and I want to pat myself on the back for this, too, because, you know, the last time I filled in for Maz in the Baseball Report is for anyone that was freaking out about Porcello against the Blue Jays, don't, because for whatever reason, they own that ass this year. He's been damn good against every other team. Blue Jays just own him. So he was, you know, he looked like how he did against the Yankees a couple of starts ago last night. So what, you're going to risk that and injuring yourself by diving head first? That was so stupid.
Okay, what else? Alex Cora pinch hits for him in the eighth with Brock Holt, and he hits a home run.
Yeah.
That guy can do no wrong. What were you saying at the time? Jimmy Stewart, what were you saying at the time that they brought in Brock Holt?
I trusted Rick Porcello pitching the eighth inning as opposed to the wheel of gutless bums. So I wanted Porcello to hit in that spot.
So did I. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
First pitch gone. So Alex Cora can do no wrong. So it's a win every day. Red Sox, Hook, you still have them losing in the first round?
I do.
Oh, God. So freaking negative. Why can't you just enjoy it, Hook? Why can't you just enjoy it? People pay their money to go 81 times a day to Fenway Park. Why can't you just enjoy it?
I do enjoy it. I enjoyed this game in August. I'll enjoy many games in August and September.
They're still out in the first round.
They are still out in the first round.
Why?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, the teams that they would be playing in all likelihood would be one of Oakland, Seattle, just shy of 350. Their ERA against all of those teams that I just mentioned are well into the fours, except for Cleveland, who they haven't even yet played this year. So against Oakland. They are. I wrote some stuff.
I'm very interested in hearing this.
Two and four against Oakland on the year.
Hold on, folks. We're starting baseball. Jimmy, you can release the phones, please. 617-779-0985 is your telephone number. Go ahead, Murray.
So, Hook.
I'm over here. That's Hook.
I'm sorry.
Two and four against Oakland. With an ERA in the mid-fours. And, you know, when people talk about Oakland and how good Oakland's been, they have this magic start date of like June 16th or something. All of the games they played against Oakland were in April and May.
Back when they sucked.
Yeah, exactly. And they have a losing record against them. They have a winning record against Seattle, just barely, 4-3. But one of those wins came against David Price, or with David Price. And one of those wins they gave up 10 runs in. So David Price in October, I don't love. Giving up 10 runs in October, I don't love. They haven't played Cleveland yet. Against the Astros, they are 2-2 on the year. They've got, again, an ERA well into the fours. And, you know, say what you will about the Yankees. They still have that big fat ERA. Obviously, the four-game sweep feels a little bit different. But still, you take these inflated ERAs, you take all of those teams having augmented their bullpens, and you not, and you take David Price in October and the question mark that maybe is Rick Porcello in October, and I just can't get on board. So you can't get on board.
So Red Sox-Yankees, you still have the Yankees?
I think I do. In October, yes. Yes, I do.
And based on that, based on the Red Sox pitching versus New York and New York's stronger bullpen.
You tell me that the Red Sox decide to put David Price in the bullpen, we can have a whole different conversation, but I don't think they're going to do that. So David Price is your number two starter. You've acquired nothing for your bullpen, and you're going up against a bunch of teams that improve themselves better than you did, and you're already losing or breaking 500 against all of these teams.
Okay, so how come that doesn't reflect in the regular season record more? Like, how come they win every damn night if they're this flawed? If they're this flawed, guys, why do they win every GD night?
Well, because, again, they haven't played Cleveland yet. They've only played four games against the Astros. They've played the Yankees a lot. They've played six against Oakland and seven against Seattle. So this is a small sampling, and then you fall off a cliff. And I'm sure if I went through and found their ERA against all of those teams, it would improve dramatically. And if you're relying on starters, because they have, not near the bottom, but their number of reliever innings pitched, bullpen innings pitched, is smaller than a lot of teams, which means their starting staff is generally doing pretty well. But I think in the playoffs, you have to have a good bullpen. You have to rely on that. The formula changes in October. It's fewer games. You're playing the same team night after night after night, you know, for a 5 or 7 game series, and you need to rely on it, and you can't give up 10 runs in one game and go, well, it's May. It's fine. We'll just come back and do it again tomorrow.
So Marshall Hook, who had us last week, just ripped us a new one for being too negative, has the Red Sox losing to the Yankees in the first round, okay, and everybody else. That's one item. Do you care about the MVP thing, Hook?
Not a whole lot, but if I were going to pick one, I'd pick Mookie Betts.
Why?
Two reasons. One, it's kind of like, you know, in the Oscars, like some guy who's been nominated 7 times and hasn't won, they're like, yeah, we'll give it to him this year. Mookie Betts should have won the MVP 2 years ago. They gave it to Mike Trout off a last place team. So I think he gets a little bit of credit, whereas J.D. Martinez has never been in an MVP conversation before. And I am loath to say this because I always rail on the people who make too big a deal about defense. But if I'm going to tiebreakers, which is essentially what I'm doing between Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, at some point I'm going to get to defense as a tiebreaker. Mookie plays it very well. Martinez doesn't at all.
Why should defense be a tiebreaker?
Well, because, again, I think they're both very dynamic offensive players. They both contribute to the offense tremendously, again, in different ways. Obviously, Martinez has got RBIs and home runs over Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has runs, which, again, that's part of it. But, you know, like, Martinez gives Mookie the runs, but, you know, Mookie gives Martinez the RBIs.
Yeah.
You know, they're all worked together. So you can't really compare them one statistic against each other because they're related to each other. But in the end, if they're both dynamic offensive players on a team that is doing as well as this team does, then we have to go to something other than offense.
I'm with him on this. I mean, you can't go wrong with either, and Martinez has made such a tremendous difference to the lineup. But Betts overall, especially defensively, is the better player. And I like his first analogy, too. This would be like Scorsese winning for The Departed when he should have actually won for Goodfellas. So, yeah, give it a Betts.
Okay. This is, oddly enough, I usually don't give two poops about the MVP. Like, I still have to ask, did Brady win the MVP last year in the
yes.
NFL? Like, I don't care. But what interests me about it is that I think there is really a dividing line there. It really brings in the nerds and the war people. You know, it's like,
they freak out.
You know, MVP has become a referendum on war, and it's usually who's ever number one in war is winning the MVP. I mean, Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown a couple of years ago for the first time in how long, right? Decades, a generation. He wins the Triple Crown. And it's neck and neck because Mike Trout had a better war. So that draws me into the debate, Hook. And
Well, you hate the nerds.
I hate. The nerds are ruining baseball. They're trying to ruin sports. War is one of those stats that's ruining the game. Like, if you got a little kid, I was a little kid. I walked around. Is Robin Yount hitting the 300? Is he on pace for 30 home runs? And we could all, like, sort of quantify what's a good baseball player or not. Do you think these 8-year-old kids are walking around saying, what's his war?
VORP.
What's his VORP? What's his weighted runs created plus? And so it's like, you know, for a whole generation of young fans that have a hard time glomming onto the game, the nerds have now just made it harder because they've thrown a whole bunch of metrics at you that you can't quantify and wrap. Like, what's a good war? I don't know. 7? 14? 65? Like, what's a good war? Remember when Maris hit 61 and 61? Remember Mike Trout's war when he won the MVP? What was it? Was it 2? Was it 7? Was it 100?
8.5.
Was it?
I don't know.
Exactly. It's like, so I think the war people are with Mookie Betts because of the defense and base running and UZR and zone rating and all these things that can kiss the underside of my ass where J.D. Martinez could win the Triple Crown. And we're debating this? Like, Mookie Betts has been here for 2-3 years. This feels like a different team, doesn't it? What's the denominator? How is this lineup different? It's different because of JD Martinez. He's the difference maker. So it's like I'm drawn into the debate hook because it's the nerds and the numbers versus what you just see with your eyes and who's more valuable. And it's just obviously JD Martinez to me. So anyway,
You look at Mookie Betts and you don't see an MVP candidate.
Oh, definitely. A candidate. You just said candidate.
All right. An MVP.
I see someone who would win in an ordinary year that someone's not about to win the Triple Crown.
Okay, he's not going to win the Triple Crown.
Okay, so. He's sniffing it. He's right there. He could easily win the Triple Crown. So, MVP debate. Marshall Hook still not buying on the Red Sox. The game last night was starting baseball with you at 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
But I am enjoying this Red Sox team now, and I enjoy the Celtics, and sports is not only about the postseason. Yes, I understand in Boston we are incredibly spoiled, and if it doesn't culminate in a championship, why even bother trying? But there are 81 games that are played at Fenway Park that people go and pay money to watch because why? It's supposed to be entertaining. People pay money to go watch 40 games played at the Garden by both, and maybe you guys like the Bruins, I don't know, but they watch the games to enjoy the game in and of itself. And so, yes, you can focus on what the future has in store, and maybe it's better for some teams and worse for some, but maybe just maybe every once in a little while for guys who are only working 4 hours a day at more money than most people out there make, maybe just try to enjoy the job a little bit, all right? Maybe just try to enjoy a tiny little bit and stop telling fans that they're effectively stupid for enjoying these games because come October, David Price is going to lose and the Red Sox will be out of it. So why did you even bother?
That was Hook last week against us. Ears are still ringing, which I found it odd then. I asked him about the Red Sox to open up today's show. He has them losing in the first round because David Price is going to crap himself.
Which is exactly what I said that day. My point is not that they're going to have great October success. It's that they're not, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy August success. Because you guys come in pretty much every day and crap all over the team. Regardless, I mean, my example was after the 4-game sweep of the Yankees. You're like, David Price still sucks. Like, you don't take any enjoyment in the now because you see the horrible thing that's waiting for you down the road. Even though it's really not that horrible, the team's going to win the division, win a bunch of games, and get to the playoffs. That would be great for, the Cincinnati Reds.
If they lose in the first round, that's a horrible outcome.
Yeah, that's not a great outcome. But that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy games now, which was my point.
Well, I thought, the end of last night's game, which is all I watched, obviously, or not obviously, but just, for point of reference, I found the finish of last night's game compelling. I mean, I did. It's how we opened the show. So I enjoyed the game in the here and now. But
wait, what did you find compelling about it? How bad Craig Kimbrel was pitching?
Yeah, well, right. Well, he can't find the strike zone, how wild he was, and then how I think Philly sort of let him off the hook by swinging and swinging and swinging. And then I thought that Leon play was great. And then I thought...
And Cora can't screw up.
And Cora can't make the wrong call. Everything he does turns up right. And I thought the Bogarts play was interesting. You really expect him to short hop that?
Mike, look at his reaction.
No, I know. He felt he could have done it after it's done, but what if he...
It's funny you said this, because I literally got an argument with my friend at the bars that happened. He's like, you think you could have made that play? Like, look at his reaction. Of course he could have made that play.
Could've.
Get in front of it. The ball drops. Second, first, double play, game over.
Okay, but if he doesn't, then he got too cute. He had an easy out, and then if he blows it... Now there's two guys on. I don't know if there are one or two outs, but he's put a runner in scoring position, and Philly's got life.
No, there was one out. He ends the game if he makes double play.
Yeah, so, but if he doesn't, there's a runner on second and one out.
Body in front of the ball. They tell you that in Little League. He could have made that play. That's why his head went up like, oh, damn.
So anyway, I found the end of the game compelling. But if Craig Kimbrel is going to be walking leadoff guys in the ninth inning with a one-run lead and not even be close, frankly, I don't know how long you live like that. I think that concern still stays there. But I don't know Murray, how pessimistic are you with the Red Sox in the playoffs now? You were just talking off the air about about the field, and it doesn't look too hot.
No, with the way that they're rolling, I just said to you, I think the National League playoffs are going to be far more compelling. And right now, I think the A's could be the only turd in the punch bowl for the Red Sox, potentially. Because the Yankees right now, Luis Severino has turned into a pumpkin and has allowed 11 home runs in his last 7 starts. Justin Verlander, if you haven't been paying attention, 2-6 in his last 10 starts with an earned run average over 4. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not that as scared of those teams as I was maybe even a month ago, and especially after the Red Sox just swept New York here a couple of weeks back. Like, the only team that I'm a little scared of is Oakland.
Oakland.
Oakland, yeah.
Oakland.
Yeah.
They no-hit you this
right.
year.
Okay.
So if you want to talk about the it factor the Red Sox have, the A's have that, too. The A's have that.
Yeah, do they have the talent?
Well, right.
But anyway, so, I mean, like, Murray's now got him going. Murray's got him rolling through the American League. 617-779-0985.
Oakland's beaten you four times this year.
Okay, so first,
that wins a series in the playoffs.
So you got Oakland over Boston in the playoffs, Stu?
No, I'm just giving you facts.
Okay. Mike in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got? Lead us off today.
Yeah, so I was listening to Marshall talk about the starters' ERA and saying how the Red Sox starters' ERA is essentially like one run worse against the good teams than it is against everybody combined. Is that correct?
It's actually their ERA on the entire year against everybody, including the good teams, is 3.48. Their ERA against those teams that I highlighted are all in the mid-4s.
Okay. So is any other team in baseball not the exact same way? That their ERA is a little bit worse, maybe a run worse, then,
do you think it's a whole run worse?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. Teams? I mean, Mike, are you? Do you know what Houston is against those teams? Their team ERA is against those teams. The Yankees against those teams. Do you know?
I don't. But if you're going to put those stats out there, you got to have the context too, right?
I would
is
agree.
Any other of the remaining teams in baseball better than what you just described the Red Sox starters' ERA is?
Fair enough. I know those other teams' record, their win loss record, is better than the Red Sox against the playoff teams. Now, the Red Sox record against playoff teams has gotten better here since the sweep of New York, and I don't know if you include last night. Is Philly in the playoffs if it begins, you know, or you even count NL teams? I don't know. But there was a time there was a time for most of the year where that other competition caller, yes, did have a better win-loss record against playoff teams than the Red Sox. I don't know about team ERA, but we can do that. You want to get on that? Bob in Malden on Sandy Leon. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, how you doing, Felger? How you doing? First time caller, guys.
Welcome.
I love your show.
Thank you. Yes, Bobby, what do you got for us?
Oh, I'm talking about the play. Like, he had a good game last night. He had a home run. But the last play of the game, it was a Little League play. I mean, it wasn't like you had Tommy Hopper running down the first baseline to throw him out. I mean, come on. I mean, I think most catchers make that play. I don't think it was a very difficult play. Everyone goes, oh, that was a great play.
I thought it was.
I thought it was mediocre. I mean, I think any catcher should be able to make that play. I mean, that's what you get paid for.
All right.
All right. And one more thing. Like, do you think the baseball is juiced? I mean, for some reason, I see a lot of home runs that really shouldn't be leaving the park, and they're flying out this year. I mean,
yes.
I mean, I don't know if the baseball wants to, because the home run brings everybody back.
So, Bob, I do, but I think it's been juiced for the last couple of years.
Yeah, Maz has been saying this for a while now, that it's won like a Titleist one. That Leon play, look.
That was a good play.
It was a good play.
Game was on the line.
Yeah.
And it's, and I mean, again, I'm not
to his point, Asdrubal Cabrera runs like how I run, so it's not like you have some speedy player there, like a D. Gordon or someone like that, but it was still a good play.
Game's on the line. He's got to put it there. He's got to throw it over him, around him, whatever. I don't know. When the ball got away, you heard echo. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Think how many guys would be a jittery idiot at that point. Like, ball goes over the first baseman's head, and you got yourself a mess in your hands.
You want to stat, like, I think the Red Sox record with Sandy Leon behind the plate is something like 27-2 now, or 20 something absurd.
Or Porcello was gushing about him after the game. It sounded like he wanted to make out with him.
Okay, so we continue with your Red Sox thoughts. You can call us on whatever you want. 617-779-0985. Right back to you after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brock Holt to bat for the first time tonight.
Uh-oh.
High fly ball right field. Back it goes. Back, back, back. It's gone! Off the facade. Coming into the ball game is a pinch hitter. Brock Holt launches one, and the Red Sox have a 2-1 lead.
Everything Alex Cora does works. Everything he does works, Murray.
If we have the Brad bots for Brad Stevens, I think it's time to bust out the Alex androids for Alex Cora. Alex Cora can do no wrong. Alex Cora can do no wrong. But putting in Brock Holt, when Rick Porcello was dealing the way that he was dealing, That took stones. Like, I was with Jimmy when he said it earlier. At that point, I wanted Porcello to come back out because the bullpen's been shaky.
Only 90 pitches for Porcello.
But during interleague play, like a call like that, like that's a big ballsy move to put Brock Holt in at that moment. In the first pitch, it goes out of the park, and that's the deciding run. Like, he can do no wrong. Alex Cora can do no wrong. Everything he's doing right now is turning to gold. But I would like to improve one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your pitcher about not sliding into second base. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, like, well, you just talk about that in the opening segment. Yeah. Like, it's, again, with that, I mean, it's, we, you know, looked all cool and everything, but I don't know. What's your confidence level in Porcello? Because, again, I keep telling you, I think he's going to be something. I think he's going to do something. Hook, you're not buying.
No, I'm all right with Rick Porcello. I'm not as all right as I am with Chris Sale, but I believe that if Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't come back, Rick Porcello should be your number two starter.
Yeah, I'm with Marshall on that. I think it's right. I mean, my confidence level, it's Sale, it's Porcello, Price, I suppose, and then Valdi and, you know, whoever else, Rodriguez when he comes back.
Not Price.
It's going to be Price. What if Price is lights out the red? What if he pitches like this the rest of the way, Hook?
Won Cy Youngs. He's got a longer track record of postseason failure than I can think of any other player in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, he's going.
And how many times have you seen it that he's just fantastic during the regular season and a puddle in the postseason?
So you'd move him to the bullpen no matter what.
If this guy is here for the next whatever it is 5 years, I would say pitch him in the rotation all year long. If you make it to the playoffs, stick him in the bullpen.
All right, we continue with your calls at 617-779-0985. Peter in Charlton. Yes, Peter.
So this is what I've been listening to since June about how bad our pitching is when we were only 30 games up. In July, the same kind of thing, but we're 40 games up. Today, I hear the same thing. We're 50 games over 500. And all we do is complain about the pitching. That's all we do. The bullpen sucks. Last week, Porcello sucked. He had a bad outing. You know what? This is baseball. It's going to happen.
Hook, you want to respond to this?
We're flipping games over 500.
Because he's talking to you, Mr. Negative.
Yeah, I've never said that the pitching's bad. When have you heard me say the pitching's bad? I haven't said that. I think their starting pitching's wonderful. Their bullpen, in as much as it exists, is not great against the good teams. That I've said. And they'll roll through the regular season. They'll roll. I don't care if they're 100 games up. It doesn't matter until you get to October and you're playing the other playoff teams. That's when it matters.
Well, how great is their pitching if you think they can't pitch against good teams? I mean, you gave us the numbers against all those playoff teams.
Oh, I mean, to understand that their bad numbers are relative only to what their good number is, right? They're mid-fours. That would still put them in the elite of the American League, where I'm looking at these teams and they have ERAs in the high fours to low fives. So it's only bad relative to what they do with the bad, you know, the real bad teams, right? When they're playing against those sub 500 teams, their ERA is in the low threes and they look fantastic. And then when you get them against one of these playoff teams, it goes up more than a run.
But isn't there something too about how the way they're playing? Like, I mean, if you put the Yankees bullpen numbers up against the Red Sox bullpen numbers, the Yankees are vastly superior, right? Like, you would just say they have a better bullpen on paper and statistically and the personnel. And the offenses are even and da-da-da, but you've watched the way the Yankees are playing, right? There's something not right there.
No, they continually play down to terrible competition. They gave up 15 hits to the Mets the other night. Right, Mets!
So unfocused in that big series against you, they felt like they were totally out to lunch half the time. And so you can give me all the numbers and all the personnel, but how are they playing? Right? How are the Red Sox playing?
Oh no, they're a buzzsaw against the worst competition, like they should be.
I mean, how much of a factor do you give that? How much weight do you give that? Like, they're just
It matters, but I'm not going to take a lot out of that. I mean, I give them credit, but I mean, how much do you really learn out of that sweep of the Orioles? To me, the biggest takeaway from that is that the bullpen's still shaky against, you know, one of the worst lineups in all of baseball.
The worst, I think. I draw a very distinct line between what you do in the regular season and what you do in the postseason. Listen, I will be more than thrilled. I know that the whatever Twitter people will just rub it in my face.
Well, last year you were their hero. My God, they were carrying you on their shoulders.
If they go into October and defy what are my expectations, I'll be as happy as I could be. I'll be like, this is great. They've gotten over what their problems are, most notably David Price. I just am not confident that that's going
to
happen.
So back to your rant against us. You're saying, Hook, know they're going to lose. In your heart, you think they're going to lose early in the playoffs.
Yes.
First round. Yet you can enjoy them winning a game in August that has thus been rendered meaningless because they're going to lose when it counts. So you
yes,
can enjoy
I can.
That. You can.
Yes, because sports is entertainment, and each game is entertaining unto itself. You watch a single game in which a team makes a dramatic comeback. I mean, there are games that people remember from teams that didn't even make the playoffs, right? Because they were just a good, I mean, the Mother's Day miracle of the Red Sox. Did that team make the playoffs? Do you even remember what year that was? But you remember that game.
Sure.
And so you can sit there and you can remember. And if you are actually watching these games for what they are, again, entertainment, then yeah, I can absolutely sit down and I can watch a game and I can talk about how they're doing this year as this year continues on. I still sit there and think that it's not going to come to fruition with the title at the end, or even maybe even make it into the second round.
No, they're going to get bounced in the first round.
That doesn't mean I can't enjoy the fact that they are the win every night Red Sox. That is inherently enjoyable regardless of what October holds.
So baseball's different to me. Like, I can watch a hockey game and know the team's not going to win it, but you know, the speed, the skill, like, or basketball. Basketball fans feel that way. Your team, you know, you're not going to win the championship, but you know, the grace and the athleticism, and football speaks for itself.
Well, plus the NHL product is usually done in a timely fashion.
Well, so. And it's done right in 2 hours, 15 minutes, and we get on with our lives. So I think the thing you just described, Hook, exists for other sports. Baseball. It's hard
too many games, and the competition's so down this year. That, I mean, come on. These series against the Rays coming up again, the Orioles, the Jays.
From a pure physical standpoint, baseball isn't really that. You know, baseball's the big picture thing. What's your team going to do? That's what draws me to baseball.
If I told you no teams, I just said, hey, Mike, here, I got one ticket each for you to go watch a football, a basketball, an NHL, or an MLB game.
Oh, it's not even close.
You're picking MLB last every time.
I'm picking fifth.
All right, so your analysis of...
I'm not joking. I'm going to an MLS game.
That's fine. Your analysis that, well, that exists for these other sports, but not for baseball, is not exactly the most unbiased analysis. You don't like watching baseball as much as any other sport, probably. If I gave you a ticket to a golf tournament, you'd be
baseball.
There.
Baseball.
Okay, so... Baseball. You saying, well, I can see how that exists in football, hockey, and basketball,
well, but you know what I
it
mean.
Doesn't. You state as a fact it doesn't exist in baseball?
You
no, it exists for somebody who's a baseball fan.
You don't think those other sports are just inherently more entertaining, just in a vacuum, the actual skills and the
No. I am bored to death going to a hockey game.
Oh.
You sit me in a hockey game, it's guys skating back and forth, and every once in a while somebody goes, Shako! Miss! That's what a hockey game is to me.
They go, what?
Shut up, miss. Wide right.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
It's like they get so excited every time there's a shot on goal, but they don't go in.
There's far more athleticism in a hockey game than there is in a baseball game.
I'm not talking about athleticism. I mean, I'm talking about what I personally
also
would like to sit down and watch. For me, I'll take baseball over hockey. For you, you'll take hockey over baseball.
There's also, you know, if the bad hockey game is a bad hockey game, but there's a thing up there that it's going to end. You know, it'll stop at
that
some point.
That is a facet on which you and I will agree.
In baseball, the thing is, goes on all night.
Baseball needs to be shorter.
We're talking about a million different things. But, you know, being able for you to enjoy a team that you believe in your heart's not going to do anything, I get in other sports more than baseball. To baseball, I think, is a little different. But, Hook, be that as it may, we continue with your thoughts. Again, Hook in for Murray. Murray in for Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shako! Miss!
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You guys need to just cheer the F up. Can you not, for even a day, for even an hour, for even the first segment of the program, take joy in the game for what it is?
This is
the thing. And listen, I get it. Sounds like a Twitter egg. It sounds like one of your Yahoo callers. But there's a level to which you can still look at the game and analyze the game and talk about it and still find at least a few moments of enjoyment. Like, what the hell, guys? You work in sports.
Yeah, Hook's still ranting. Yeah, it's last Friday. It was a good rant.
I'm not wrong.
You're wrong in that you think we don't enjoy it.
All right, you know, here's what I will clarify, because you clarified it. You say you enjoy this job, and then you said you enjoy trolling people.
Yeah, agitating, right. Stealing the poop.
What I'm saying is maybe enjoy the actual sports that you're talking about. Maybe enjoy actually sitting down and taking in a sporting event, because that's what I'm not sure you do.
Oh, I do. Baseball's hard. Baseball's hard. And I think it's getting hard for, it's not just me, it's getting hard for a lot of people, Hook. It's a different game than that I grew up with. I mean, it just is. So it gets hard. Like, so baseball to me is always just that ultimate big picture thing. I mean, we opened the show talking about individual plays from the game last night, but that is getting really hard to do. Trust me. I mean, when you host shows, Hook, do it. Talk about the game last night and what people saw from the individual plays. You'll get crickets, because it's hard to engage an individual baseball game like it used to be. It's because the sport's different. The sport has changed. We've changed as a society, but the sport has changed dramatically. And so to sit down and enjoy the actual baseball game that's a challenge for a lot of people, and I think I'm included. You want to talk about big picture, how a guy's playing, how a guy's hitting, how a guy's pitching, what are they going to do with a certain lineup, what are they going to do versus a certain team, like those big picture things.
There's always stuff to talk about.
Like, I enjoy that, like that sort of putting that puzzle together. But, I mean, again, we opened up talking about Sandy Leone's throw out on that last play, what I thought was a good play by Sandy Leone. We got one call on it. You know, we talk about Brock Holt pitch hitting that home run, no calls on it.
Porcello.
Porcello sliding headfirst into second base, zero calls. We got Xander Bogaerts, which was a real interesting play in the ninth inning. I thought this was an interesting play. Could have let it short hop for a double play, riskier play, but you can't really do it because, just trust me on that. I mean,
I'm not even telling you to program your show. I'm just saying that from a listener's standpoint, you guys sound like you have no interest in sports.
Oh,
like you come in the morning, like, oh, the Red Sox, you know, the Bruins, Kyrie Irving's going to leave. I mean, that's like you focus completely on whatever the bad thing is. That's what you do. You find what the bad thing is from what was otherwise a good game or a good weekend. And you're like, well, this is the thing that I'm going to focus on. And it makes you sound miserable. Like, all you see is the bad. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You can view it however you want to view it. I love the crap out of the job, and I'm a little sports dork. But yes, we definitely pick the bad stuff from the night before and focus on that. No question about it.
More often than not, that tends to be the more entertaining.
It's just the easier thing. It is. Don't confuse that, Hook, or confuse it. I don't care. Do whatever you got to do. Back to the phones. Here's Rich in Boston. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Hook, thanks for bringing some positivity to the show.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
I want to talk about the Astros, and, you know, I understand injuries and whatever, and I personally think both the Astros and the Yankees will be playing in the playoffs, but just look at the standings. Astros have lost 9 straight home games. They're a game up on Oakland. I think 2.5 up on Seattle. Oakland's tied with the Yankees for the wild card, for the first wild card. Mariners aren't far back. Why are you guys so confident? Again, I think that they'll make it, but why is there no talk about how both the Astros and the Yankees seem to be choking away even like a playoff spot?
Oh, no, we mentioned it.
Yeah,
and don't look at me. I don't have them one and done.
This is what I just started saying. Both of those teams, the Yankees and Astros, have been reeling. He's right. I just saw the stat. They've lost 9 straight home games, the first time since 1966. Verlander's turned into a pumpkin. And then in Cleveland, Trevor Bauer, who's having like a career year, he has a stress fracture in his leg. It's all lining up for the Red Sox. To me, right now, as of today, as they continue to, you know, go through the league like a buzzsaw, the only team I'm a little afraid of is Oakland.
Because they don't have the glaring flaws, but you don't watch them closely enough to see their glaring. You can see all these other things from afar, but...
Even going back to the spring, I mean, Oakland took that series. They no-hit you, and they have this weird little it factor. A lot of comeback late inning wins for them so far this year.
But just to the caller's point, I've written off the Yankees after I watched the way that they're playing and the manager and how the manager feels powerless to get in the middle of that. So, yeah, I've done that. Cleveland, I like the way they're constructed. I like those bullpen moves, but is Andrew Miller even healthy yet? Is Andrew Miller back? Is he going to be back? Do any of you guys know? Does anyone have an answer for me? All you people who are so into baseball, you can't even answer me the most valuable player on Cleveland, where he is?
Andrew Miller's back.
Is he back?
He's been back for a few weeks now.
Okay, I hear people say, how come people keep saying that?
He's not the weapon that he was a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, he's coming back from an injury. He's been injured twice this year.
Okay, so...
Terry will take care of it.
And they got Brad Hand, so they have two lefty. Shut up, Matt.
Doing his own radio show back there.
I thought Matt said something the other day about if and when Andrew Miller comes back, or there's not even a guarantee that Andrew Miller comes back. So I didn't check it, but I thought he was more. But anyway, I like the way Cleveland's constructed, but where's the arrow pointed on them? So, yes, if the competition's going down, I don't have them one and done. That's Hook. That's Mr. Positive over there. Marshall Hook has him one and done.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.